Hey guys, welcome to the show. Don't know if you can hear. The IRS announces end to unannounced visits to taxpayer cells. Oh, interesting. But I just thought I'd jump on here and give an impromptu show. Anyone is welcome to call in. I think I have that call in open. Let's see if I do. Yep, I have that open. So if anyone wants to call in, they can, and we can just start talking about whatever, because I'm just trying out what it's like to do live on Podbean. So I've never done that before, so trying something new. But this week I have some really important shows, and I hope you'll go to check out the shows that I'm doing this week. I have on I'm doing a show. I did one today. It's already published, one Wednesday, about two parents that discovered a child trafficking ring and their kids were abducted from the child trafficking ring. So that's coming. That's on this week's episode. And then on Friday, I am interviewing the executive producer of The Sound of Freedom. And that's going to be an incredible show. So I hope you will join me on that. Let's see. What is a headline going on today? It's interesting about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. They are really beating him in the media, and I just don't understand. He would be a great candidate for his side, the Democrat Party. He's a strong candidate, and yet he keeps getting bashed in the media. Oh my gosh, Joe Biden fell down again. So if anyone wants to come in and just talk about whatever, we can do that. Let's see what this says. Biden aides trying to figure out how to make this Chomen Chug good thing. So President Biden's advisors have been addressing concerns about his age since 2020 campaign. As the oldest president in history, he faces the challenge of running against the Republican Party, eager to seize on any missteps while voters already question Biden's readiness for retirement. His aides cannot guarantee he won't stumble again. Critics point to his physical frailty and lack of stamina compared to younger President Obama. The worry is amplified by the prospect of Biden serving from age 82 to 86, an age considered old even in European standards. Despite these concerns, Biden advisors are taking measures to minimize the physical toll of the job, and they're also framing his age as an asset, highlighting his legislative accomplishments that eluded younger predecessors like Clinton and Obama. They argue that Republicans are recycling an ineffective argument used by Donald Trump. However, they are going after Robert F. Kennedy Jr., whose family's been in the White House, and his father served, I believe, as Attorney General. And they assassinated both his father and his uncle. So if anyone wants to call in, the phone lines are open. This is very impromptu. Thank you for the love. Just decided to get on here. So welcome to the program. So Democrat presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. expresses his concerns about the media's coverage of his 24 presidential campaign. Now, I don't understand why they would go after this man, because he is the kind of Democrat that I would love to be as a president. Hey, Yancey, you can call in. It's Eric, you can call in. It's an impromptu show. I'm just talking about whatever. But I just think it's interesting. I've never done a call-in show, so this is new to me. I just thought it interesting that here you have a guy who's a Democrat, a strong Democrat. His family's been in the White House. His father served as Attorney General. And they just slam him in the news, and he would be a strong candidate for the Democrat Party instead of this Joe Biden who falls all the time. And he's someone that's reasonable, that we can really wrap our head around someone who would, we could go to the table, and I think he would be bipartisan. I think he would work with both sides of the aisle. I think there's not everything I agree with him on, but if I had to choose, he would be my Democrat presidential nomination. Exactly, Yancey. He says RFK is very refreshing. And so if anyone wants to call in, feel free. I don't know how I'm doing this. This is all brand new to me. So I just thought this is a good chance. And what I would love a ticket, if I could see my ideal ticket right now with the way we're living in, and I'd like to see our country united, I would love to see a Trump RFK ticket. I want RFK. Hi, Miss Dixie. Thanks for joining us. Call in if you'd like. I'd like to see Robert F. Kennedy Jr. be the vice president, because I feel bad that Donald Trump's presidency got taken away from him in 2020. And I'd like him to serve in his 2020 campaign and get his reelection, because he rightfully deserves that. And then have RFK as a vice president, and then we can have him for 8 years. So I think that'd be great. But for some reason, they are slamming him every which way in the media, and I don't understand it. Don't understand it. So I don't know. I felt that, ooh, I just thought that was interesting. Hey, Eric, welcome to the program. Glad to have you.
Hey, Amber. Hope your, Monday is going great. I mean, I know this is really a surprise show that I just got done sharing it to Twitter.
Oh, thanks.
Hopefully the old man might stop by and see you and Brad and a couple other friends.
That would be great. Why don't I just try my hand at a live show? And so I'm just like picking out articles just to start the conversation, but we could talk about whatever. I like how Yancey said he doesn't play the binary tribal games. That's true, Yancey. I'd love to hear your take if you want to call in, because you're running for office. Actually, would love to interview you. How's your running for office?
You're talking about like RFK Jr.'s like candidacy. I even saw this on Twitter from Caroline Kennedy's son, you know, JFK's grandson, that Jack Schlossberg, I believe is his name. He basically made statements that basically suggest that his cousin, which I think they're like first cousins once removed, or second cousins, however you prefer to describe it. He basically, you know, openly made statements saying that RFK Jr.'s candidacy was a huge embarrassment, and he's doubling down on endorsing Biden's reelection.
Rock Wheeler, thank you for joining us. And T-Money, thanks for joining us. You know what? I saw that article. I think I saw that article too. And Eric, that surprised me, because
had me just shaking my head in disbelief there. Like, because, you know, to me, I think a winning ticket, like as you said, would be Trump as president and RFK Jr. as vice president.
Talk about the most uniting ticket our country would ever have. You had the Republican and you have the Democrat. Well, I think these two men could work really well together. I really do.
I notice you don't have the show listed explicit. I don't know if you're going to edit out the F-bombs. Because I think like a Trump RFK Jr. ticket would be a big middle finger or fuck you to the to the uniparty establishment. And like you said, it would be the most uniting ticket that America's ever seen.
Yep. Well, you know what? I wouldn't mind the Trump DeSantis ticket either, Ruckweiler. I wouldn't mind. I think those two men have done well. And I think that DeSantis has been an excellent governor and showed the rest of the United States governor what it takes to be a governor. And then he's been really going after the Disney regime. And I'm glad, because he's really been exposing what Disney's all about. And you look at the Sound of Freedom movie, Disney had the rights and they held on to those rights and would not let that movie come to fruition.
Oh, and they even colluded with Netflix, you know, to keep that movie from being streamed on their service, allegedly.
Yeah. Hanny, you should join. Come on, my friend. I only saw you yesterday. You should join the panel, girlfriend.
I think to remind friends of the Amber May Show that in case they missed the Old Man's Podcast Show back on Tuesday, July 11th, you did an excellent review on that Sound of Freedom movie. That is a must listen to and download episode.
Oh, thank you.
I think people would find quite refreshing.
It gets even better. It gets even better. I have an amazing interview on Friday with the executive producer of the Sound of Freedom. And I learned so much more when I interview him, I have learned that he also was part of writing the script. And so I can't wait for you guys to hear it, because there's so much that we're going to talk about on this episode with him. And I have come to learn that he has done a lot of the operations that are shown in the movie. And in the movie, they show it. I love how they did it, because they took several operations and they turned it into one movie. So I hope you will tune into that. It's going to be on Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be here on Podbean, or it's going to be on Rumble, Bridie on BitChute, Facebook at the Amber May Show. Please check that out. I feel like God is so amazing. Out of all the people from that film I could have interviewed, he sent that man to my show. Not only did that man sponsor the show, not only did that man, he was a part of the operations. I mean, I got one of the most incredible people out of all the movie, out of everyone. I mean, Jim Caviezel, come on. Oh, yeah. Of course I would hands down want to interview that man. I mean, but I'm thrilled with the connection that I made. So I'm excited. And I want to thank you, Eric, for your compliments on that show that we did on Tuesday. It's been really moving me. This week I've been highlighting a family who stumbled across a child trafficking ring.
Oh,
all
wow.
7 of their kids were stolen, and they are exposing the child trafficking ring, and they're trying to get their kids back. So, but Hanny, welcome to the panel. So glad to have you. Miss Dixie, thank if you want to call in, go for it. Anyone want to call in? Come on in.
It was a happy surprise.
You know what? I just said, I'm just going to throw my hat in the ring, just see how it goes. I've never done live on Podbean. And so my kids are playing with their friends. My husband's chilling. So I'm like, why not be with my Pod family?
Right. Why not?
Yeah. So how was your day today?
It was good. Crazy Monday. You know, typical.
We talked about that on a Brett show today about Mondays being like the worst day of the week.
Without fail. Said to Brett,
I'm glad my name is not Monday. If I had to be every day of the week, I would not want it to be Monday, because nobody likes Mondays. It's just like nobody likes the dentist.
Yep. 2 days out of the office and you come back and feel like everything exploded, you know? Right.
Well, Rock Wheeler said, I believe the government is behind sex trafficking. Ashton Kutcher has been in court exposing things. I did not know about Ashton Kutcher, but I am 100% with you on government is behind trafficking. I wish I could show you some articles, but there's three different articles that I came across recently. And one was about the California state legislator and a piece of legislation that they didn't want to go through that would help protect children. Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs vetoed a bill that would have put more people on the pedophile list. And then Washington State wants to take away your kids. So if your child goes to school and your child tells the school they identify as a sex not that they were born with, and you don't want to affirm that as the parent, you want to work through this, and the school finds out, they will remove your kid. And this is a law in Washington State. They will remove your kid. They will put it in a home that will do the gender affirming surgeries. And you have no say. So when you say, I think the government is behind it, I believe that. And plus, if you look at who was on the Epstein Island, hello. That should tell you everything you need to know.
Well, in Washington State, that's the old man and Grammys.
I know. No, I showed the stomping grounds.
Crazy lady over near Moses Lake. And we even got a couple friends over around Spokane in Seattle.
Yep. I told the old man, I showed him the article. He was pissed. Yeah. He was pissed.
I remember like last year, if I'm not mistaken, like, you know, I had liked and retweeted something from radio personality and podcaster Alan Sanders. And the old man saw it and replied to it. And it was like an article talking about the senior U.S. Senator Patty Murray, and I just absolutely love the old man's response, where he basically said, she is a cancer to our state, you know, referring to Patty Murray.
Nice.
A Democrat of all people.
And, you know, the articles that I found, all three were Democrat-led legislators and a Democrat governor. I'm just like, that's interesting. That is interesting. But honestly, it's really a uniparty. But for whatever reason, they're the ones that are most outspoken about not wanting to protect the kids and wanting them to have gender affirming care and all this stuff. So the Republicans have taken a quiet seat, but they're just as complicit. They're just as complicit. Rock Weller says, I'm sure he knows a lot. He was part of Hollywood for a while. Yeah, I'm sure you mean he's not in Hollywood anymore? I mean, I thought he was still one of the it guys in Hollywood.
Or
yeah, so I'll have to look that up.
Or when it comes to people like Ashton Kutcher and Jim Caviezel, you know, they might want to borrow something that our Podbean friend Rocky Raccoon will probably say, I did not kill myself.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because
I did not kill myself. Yes.
And Jim Caviezel, I honestly think, you know, he is like a very rare breed in Hollywood, along with, say, like Candace Cameron Bure and her big brother, Kirk Cameron.
Oh, you know,
because how like Christianity and conservatism in like the showbiz industry is just looked down and frowned upon like it's unbelievable. And, and I know Jim Caviezel, you know, who did like The Passion of the Christ almost 20 years ago, a movie directed by Mel Gibson. And he's also another name that's been trending. And, the other movies he's been featured in, there was like Frequency where he starred opposite Dennis Quaid. I'm standing outside in case you're hearing background noise. And he also starred in the successful TV show Person of Interest, and then him also starring in this Sound of Freedom movie, you know. And I know that, you know, he's doing this at like a great professional and personal risk.
Yes,
but
of course.
But he's proven that he has gumption.
Right. And that's what I respect about the man. I mean, he took a big hit with Passion of the Christ. I'm like, why? Why is everyone so their panties in a fluster in Hollywood when that came out?
Well,
like, and so he wants to talk about Jesus Christ. So whoopity-ding-dong. Like, I didn't understand why the backlash of him portraying Jesus and the passion that Jesus went through dying on the cross. Like, I didn't understand the backlash of Hollywood. It made no sense to me.
Well, and I know, like, and this might be true with the showbiz industry, the political industry, and even society in general. Like, and you'd probably even see a reference to this in the Bible that Jesus made it clear that he would be hated of all the nations for his name's sake, because the world hated him before it hated Correct. His followers.
Correct. And I like what Yancey said. Okay, so I was watching this podcast, and the Flyover Conservatives, I know them from the Reawaken Tour in Mel K, and they did an episode on Oppenheimer. And so they thought that maybe Oppenheimer was like a propaganda tool, because so Oppenheimer, I guess he was convicted of something and he got his security taken away from him back when, you know, during the McCarthy era, because he was the inventor of the atom bomb or the nuclear bomb. But they always thought he was a communist. And the lady who the film was, there was a lady who wrote a book about Oppenheimer. And that book became the movie. And she was very pro-Oppenheimer, and she is very pro-communist. And so they're thinking, could this be a propaganda arm, because they're ramping up the Ukraine-Russia situation now? I don't know, but it could be. How come all of a sudden? So, and then they pointed out that Biden, what is it called when you've been convicted of something and the president grants you whatever?
Like president can't commute. Not, it wouldn't pardon, necessarily yeah, be a pardon, yeah. but or like a sentence commuting of some kind.
No. I think that's what it was, or something where they reinstated right. him, even though he's dead. Like, what good does that do?
It was a posthumous pardon then.
Yeah, something like that, right? And so, right, 2 years, like during the time when this movie is getting filmed, Joe Biden does this. And they just thought that was odd. And you know what? If you think about it, that is kind of odd, because why would they pardon, or why would they give this guy back and reinstate him when he's long dead? It doesn't make any sense. And, you know, I remember in school when teachers would talk about the McCarthy trials and the McCarthyism, they always looked down on that, like as if the guy was insane and that our government was insane. But if you look at how things are now, No, I think he was right on the money. And I just don't think that America was ready to hear what he had to say. And then if you listen to the speech that Eisenhower gave when he departed the White House, he was above his time because the American people weren't ready to hear what he was trying to warn the American people about. And he starts out the speech talking about globalism and how there was a big move in atheism away from God, a big push of socialism and atheism, and then the military industrial complex and how powerful that was becoming in the United States. And Mel Kay and the Flyover Conservatives also brought that up in the episode. So I don't know. If you guys go see the film, I'm sure it's really good. They spent a lot of money to make it. I'm just curious if you could keep that in the back of your head, what you might think. Is this propaganda because they're going to push us to a stronger war in Ukraine and Russia? I don't know. Let's see. Yancy says the U.S. has never been shy about using enemies for our own use. Wiener von Braun was a Nazi left over from the Reich and was instrumental in the Saturn V rockets. You know what? You're right. They brought over. See, they taught us that we defeated in World War II Nazism. That's not true. They just brought them over to the United States. And they call us neo-Nazis, right? The Nazis themselves. They want to put on us what they are. And it's gaslighting. They always call us neo-Nazis. You're a neo-Nazi. No, you're a Nazi. You're just calling us that. But that's really you. So Rockwiller says, you know, that in the 1930s until 1943, Oppenheimer was a communist sympathizer. His brother Frank and his girlfriend Jen Tatlock belonged to the Communist Party of the United States, and Oppenheimer's wife Catherine was a former member. I would love you to call into the program and teach us more about it, because I really don't know much about Oppenheimer. But I know it's a film that everyone is talking about right now. And so I watched the flyovers because, like I said, I know them. And I watched it and I was just like, okay, well, now I know a little bit more about that film. And I'm like, now I go into it thinking, could this be propaganda? What's the next thing? Because they use film all the time to propagandize.
Well, and then another thing that's also going on right now is the Writers Guild of America and the SAG-AFTRA strikes,
you know,
against
so glad.
The Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. Even, you know, I even seen an article where Fran Drescher, you know, is aware that, you know, she could find herself being blacklisted. And you know, and I mean, I may not know very much about her politics and probably at this point don't really care. I mean, I loved her as Fran Fine in the CBS sitcom The Nanny. And I liked how she spoke about what she thought was a very disturbing and alarming trend in showbiz, where they're wanting to develop AI technology.
Yes.
You know, which I think that, you know, she does raise a great point about that, you know, being very troubling in our media and entertainment industry. It's almost like they would be putting, you know, up and coming content creators and other aspiring actors and actresses and musicians and comedians out of business.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I just got a text from a friend today, and he said, what exactly did he say? Let me find it. He said, he was at Whole Foods, and there was a scan option for his palm to pay with the palm of his hand for the food. And I'm thinking Walletmore was the little microchip that went into your hand. And
the RFID microchip, also known as the Mark of the Beast.
Yes, the RFID microchip. And
this one really has people saying, shut up.
It's all right. I know based on the World Economic Forum that is a big thing for them. They want to monitor everything. If you listen to Yuval Noah Harari, he is the advisor to Klaus Schwab. Klaus Schwab is the main guy at the World Economic Forum. Okay. So he is also a professor in Israel, and he is saying that we want to know everything about you. We want you to be scanned. We want to put a microchip. We want some kind of technology in your body of some kind, because they want to know everything about us. They want to control us so much. I don't understand this incessant need to control.
Welcome to the New World Order.
Oh, good karate. Yeah, right. But you know what I find very, and I find very exciting is I think their plans are failing and they're trying to push back harder. Yancey, what do you think? Ruckweller, what do you think? Are you think they're pushing harder because they're failing? Because I see that more and more people are awake to what's going on behind the scenes. And so they're going to push harder because they don't want to lose their power and control. And now people are seeing things for what it is. Right. They work for Satan 100%. 100%. Welcome, Karate Jane, to the program. I'm just doing an impromptu show. We could talk about whatever. How's your day going today?
And happy 97th birthday today to Jane's mother.
Your friend. Yep.
My mom, my brother just talked to me. It's too hot down there for her to go out to dinner. So, but they did bring her cake and flowers yesterday and a card. And I talked to her and she didn't want me to come down to go out. But, so they're gonna, my parents used to travel all over the world and they used black and white, video tapes with the movie projector. So my brother's gonna, and his wife are gonna go over mom's house on the weekend and they're going to put up the projector and show pictures of dad and try to jog her memory.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
How long has your dad been gone for?
It's 23. 9/11/9/13. So 22 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Not because of 9/11, but, He had a quadruple bypass, and then he stuck to a strict diet, like 6 ounces of meat and all that, and he had his main carotid arteries unclogged. But then 10 years later, they clogged up, and he went to the country doctor. Now, thank God, they have a hospital down there in Milford, Delaware. They had a country doctor, and he took my dad in, and he said, "Oh, you're okay," and sent my dad home. I nearly killed my dad. It's because my dad's fluid was filling up, his lungs were filling up with fluid. So then he took him another x-ray, and then the doctor and his wife were both doctors, and they were like, they didn't even apologize to my mom, and they felt so ashamed because they knew they'd stupid. So the what happened was, the only hospital you could go to was 3 hours away in Maryland. There's a really good hospital in Maryland. And my mom had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning just to see the doctors at 6 o'clock in the morning. And he was in there a month and his heart was too weak for them to redo a quadruple bypass, and his carotids clogged up again after 10 years. So then he was on dialysis. So he lived a month in the hospital, but this is the weirdest thing, but you probably won't believe me, but this really stuff, weird stuff like this happens to me. So yeah, I'm the only one that lives in Pennsylvania. All my other brothers live near my mom near Milford and Lincoln, Delaware, and my other nieces and nephews and other brother lives in Virginia. And so I went down that day and it was 9/13 and they were talking on the radio about 9/11 and they were saying, "Is there a God?" And I always had strong beliefs in God. And I said, "God, please just give me a sign. My dad died. All these people died." I was in the dentist office when that happened. I watched it on TV, the towers. Yeah, it was terrible. So anyway, I go to this gas station that I've never been to before in my life. And I saw this lady and I thought she was a nun because she had a cross and she looked like a nun. And I said, "Would you please pray for me? My father just died." And she said, "I know your father. I'm your dad's priest," because she was Episcopalian. And she said, "Who are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm his daughter." And she said, "Well, I talked to your father and he was ready to go and he was at peace." And they brought it up at the funeral and people couldn't believe it because I've never been to that gas station and I don't even live in that state. And God gave me a sign that God is alive. That was my sign. Cool. Yeah.
That is so cool.
Everybody stood up and was cheering.
Oh, I love that story.
Yeah.
Look who just showed up in the room.
The old man showed up. I'm so
excited. Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
Colin. So I had a similar story to you. So my uncle was 11 years older than me. So he really was more like my brother than my uncle. And we hung out a lot. And my dad's a minister and my uncle's a minister.
Oh, nice.
Both of them are his brothers, obviously. And so my uncle was going through cancer, and he's gone through cancer off and on throughout his life from 18 to the day he died. I think he was 39 when he died. Oh, and
that's awfully young.
Sorry. It was so young. And I was just praying to God for all these miracles that he would be okay and that God would heal him. And I was praying all these scriptures over him. And I know exactly where I was. I was on the freeway. I left work. My boss let me go. I was just such a mess. And it was so touch and go. We weren't sure if my uncle was going to pull through. And the Lord told me, I could just hear it as loud as can be, even though you can't hear his voice, but you just know when God talks to you.
Exactly.
He said to me, I am showing mercy to him. And that's why he was going, that's why he took my uncle, because he was showing him mercy. So I don't know if it's because he's gone through cancer so many times, or if it's because his wife had left him. He was losing his house for foreclosure because of all his sickness, and he was unable to work very much. I don't know if all of that would have been too much for my uncle to handle. So God thought
it was a mercy killing. It's called a mercy killing.
No, he just said that he was showing him mercy, meaning like he wasn't going to heal him on earth, you know, because in heaven he's totally healed.
He was going to take him home. That's being merciful.
Yeah.
Because that same thing happened to me with my best friend, Trudy. She had a massive, I took care of this lady for 25 years. She willed me her house. She gave me a place to stay, or I would have been homeless. And we had three cats. And she wanted me to take care of her cats after she passed. Well, she had a massive stroke 10 years later, like she had mini strokes. Anyway, I'm in the hospital, and they said she wasn't coming back, and she was bleeding from the brain. And she had AFib. And the bad thing is, I took her to the doctor's Friday of that week, and the doctor gave her a heart test and kept giving me a funny face. And I said, what's wrong? And he says, oh, it's not that bad. I want to get her tested for AFib. Well, if they want to put her in the hospital, sometimes they could stop strokes. So anyway, so I don't know if that's for sure or not. But anyway, so I was really upset because her niece had to come, and they had to take her off the ventilator, and her niece was like, well, I don't know what to do. Should I put her in a nursing home? And they said, well, ma'am, she's never going to come back to you. She's gone. Mentally, like her right side was going a mile a minute, and her left side was gone, and she couldn't even open up her eyes. So I just threw myself on the floor screaming and crying because I loved Trudy more than my mom, because Trudy loved me unconditionally. And
well, she was like a second mom to you.
Well, yeah, but my mom understood that and wasn't upset. And my mom said, Jane, I'm just really upset Trudy's gone for you, because I know how much you loved and cared for her. So my friend that's Catholic, she went to, she's like did all this schooling. I met her in college at a Catholic college, and she did all this schooling and pastor counseling and stuff. And her mother told her, go. So I'm on the floor crying my eyes out, you know, screaming and crying. What am I going to do? How am I going to survive by myself? And my friend Rita does that thing. You know, when people do that thing with the eyes, they get the two fingers and they look at you and point at your eyes and they point at their eyes. So she kept doing that. And she said, Jane, God is being merciful. This is a mercy killing, because if Trudy would have had to go in the nursing home, you would have been homeless and had nowhere to go. And now Trudy, and right after we took her off the ventilator, she waited till we left, 2 o'clock in the morning, and she passed. And she was in a better place. Mm-hmm. So that's what I meant with your uncle. God was letting you know he was being merciful.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Totally. Hey, Jimmy, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah. And, you know, and I always tell people, you know, don't look at death as something ugly or sad. You know, look at death like this. You know, somebody once told me, you know, if you truly believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you repent of your sins, just remember, paradise is a heartbeat away. It'll always be a heartbeat away. There's nothing to fear in death because essentially you don't die. That second your heart stops here on this earth, you're reborn in the kingdom of heaven with the good Lord and Savior. And your loved ones, everybody that you loved and cared for here in this world who were sick, they're already healed. They're walking the golden streets with the good Lord, uh-huh. and everybody else has been waiting for them.
Oh, that's a good way to put it, Jimmy.
Well,
see them again. Because the Lord's promises, we will see them again.
You know, with Jane's friend Trudy and her dad, and even your dad, Jimmy, and Amber's dad, and the old man's parents, and any other deceased loved ones and friends of ours, the good Lord came and took them home.
That's right. You know, my dad, in a few weeks, it'll be 3 years since my dad passed away with brain cancer.
Aww.
And I took it very hard. I helped my mom take care of my dad for those 2 years. Doctors gave him only 3 months to live.
Oh my.
And the good Lord gave my dad 2 years and half a month of life after he was diagnosed. You know, those were the hardest 2 years and half a month of my life, seeing the man that took care of me and showed me right from wrong and taught me how to do all these things. And I had to teach him those things. It was the hardest 2 years of my life.
I bet.
And I don't regret, you know, stopping my life for those 2 years to take care of my dad. It was an honor to give back to my father what he gave me when I was sick and when I was dying in the hospital. It was such an honor to give him that peace.
Yeah.
And I tell people, think about your parents, you know, like the good Lord says, honor thy mother and father. And I wanted to honor my father for everything that he had given to me by giving back to him a peace of mind, knowing that his son was there to take care of him and guide him through that transition in life. And so was my mother. My mother was there with him, and my other siblings were there with him too when they can be. But it was just such a beautiful blessing, a beautiful honor to help take care of him and give back to him. And I know what he's given to me and the things he's done for me. I always felt like I could never thank him enough. But I just hope and pray that me being there for him on his, you know, his last days here in our world was enough to say, thank you, Dad. And I love you always and forever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Could for you sure. communicate with him at that time or no?
Well, he was talking up until that last month. He got very quiet and then he kind of stopped talking. But, you know, just, I knew, of his facial expressions and stuff, you know, because being around my dad for 30 plus years, and I knew what he wanted when he wanted something. So it was fairly obvious what he wanted.
So he knew you were there for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you'll be blessed whenever it's your time. Hopefully not anytime soon. You will see him, and he'll be the first one waiting for you.
Well, I hope so.
Well, I had something similar, Jimmy, kind of, sort of. Like, so my dad was a transplant patient, and he went to one of the most well-known transplant hospitals here. And what really made me mad is he got the transplant around COVID. It was such a surprise. We didn't know it was even going to happen. It was actually right after Christmas. Right before Christmas, sorry. It was right before Christmas 2 years ago that he got the transplant. And my mom couldn't go because she was recovering from a surgery. So I took my dad and I got to be there with him as they rushed him into the surgery. And I got to see him when he recovered. But I was the one that got to take my dad to all of his follow-up appointments. And then my dad would take me out for lunch or breakfast or whatever that time was. And I had no idea that my dad was going to die because he had a life-saving transplant, and the transplant was fine. But like cancer, your immune system takes a big dump every time you get a transplant. And so we didn't know. And I'm mad because I took him to the hospital all the time.
Was it COVID that wound up getting him, or was it?
No, it wasn't COVID, but the doctors were so COVID stupid that they only focused on COVID and not like they didn't really pay attention to anything else other than COVID. And taking him to, if there was any kind of infection, it should have showed up in his blood work, because they took him every week and nothing, like they never said anything to us. And then all of a sudden my dad started having strokes actually on Easter of all days. He started having strokes, and we took him to the ER, and then they would release him and he continued having strokes, and they changed his medicine. And they didn't look at the cause of it. The cause was because he developed an infection from his heart because he had no immune system. Oh, but what was really cool, like I didn't know my dad was going to die, but that last week of his life, I was trying to go see him. I wasn't able to because of COVID rules. There was only one person allowed. My mom went. And then when he was finally moved to a room, I didn't have childcare. My sister went and saw him. My uncle went and saw him. But I got a lot of one-on-one time with my dad, and I will never forget how important that is now.
Right.
So I got to meet my dad, and so that was pretty incredible that nobody else got that. So I'm grateful for that. And Hanny's getting something similar because she's been able to spend a lot of time with her uncle. And so God's been giving her the ability to spend and make memories and with her uncle make a difference in his life. So
I feel you. My uncle, the only uncle I really got to know growing up, my dad's older brother, unfortunately, I think this was like 2 months ago or a couple months ago, he found out that he has lymphoma cancer.
Oh, so that's what my uncle died of.
My goodness. You're definitely in prayers, Jimmy, right, Amber?
Please, thank you.
Yeah,
first. Yeah, because I mean, it's just one relative after another, and it's just been real stressful on all of us. But my aunt, she's been asking my mom and I a lot of questions, and she at least had something that my mom and I, or my side of the family, didn't have. She has support, so she doesn't feel alone or feel scared, and like we were once, that we felt kind of scared because this was a new journey in life, a scary journey in life that we were taking. And it's true what they say, cancer just doesn't affect the person who has it affects everybody around them. And it's, if anybody's listening to this, who's going through anything like that, don't be afraid to reach out and talk to somebody.
Cancer doesn't have to be a death sentence either.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. That's true. It doesn't have to be a death sentence. You don't have to go through things alone. You don't have to feel that you're alone. You can always reach out. And there's hospitals. They have support groups. A lot of hospitals have a lot of support groups for people who are family members and those who are actually going through cancer themselves, And it's a good thing, Sometimes the best healing comes from talking to a complete stranger about your issues, getting it off your chest instead of talking to somebody that mm-hmm. And I learned that from my experience too, and just want to advocate for that and speak out on that behalf. Never just don't close up. That's the worst thing you can do, is lock yourself up in your mind.
True. Hey, Humble Dog, welcome to the program. This is very impromptu. Said, hey, why not try a live show? So here we go.
You're welcome. And we've also got Miss Dixie on the call panel, who's been very quiet.
Yes, Miss Dixie.
Yes, and Handy J's been quiet too.
Yeah.
Munching on some food.
Yeah, nice. I had a pork chop for dinner.
Well, my dinner tonight was pizza and wings from Pizza Hut.
Had some beef stroganoff.
Oh man, tell me what you ate, because on your show we always talk about food. So in the chat, tell me what you ate if you're able to hear. Ms. Dixie, what'd you have for dinner? I can't hear you.
You're a little quiet there, Miss Dixie. Oh, geez.
I know, I can't hear her.
I can't hear you, Miss Dixie, your mic.
This is the first time I met Jimmy, too. So, Jimmy, we are all the people on the panel. We're all part of a pod family. So it's good to meet you, Jimmy, and being our pod family. So
that's good to meet you too.
Well, we've got Brett and Russ going live in 30 minutes with Outside of Normal podcast presentation called Outside the Pulse, which should be a very awesome show tonight. And I know Henny J and a couple other friends will be there, and I'm sure Jane will be there too.
Okay, that's tonight. I didn't know that was tonight. Cool. I can't wait for tomorrow because Short Pants Robert said he wrote a book. So I'm excited about the polls after dark.
Oh, nice.
I want to see what he wrote.
Well, and even the Old Man's Podcast Show's Monday co-host Shonda is in the process of writing a book, and I think the Old Man has read some of her manuscripts, and I'm sure you'd be interested, Amber, in reading some of her manuscripts too.
Oh, for sure. She's right.
And I'm sure you would be honored and humbled to interview her on your show.
Well, that's she's a bright, bright woman. And I think I think it would be so cool if Doc would interview her, because author to author, I think that'd be so cool. Boy,
that is a good idea.
Uh-huh. I hope that Doc would consider interviewing her when her when her book comes out. Humble Doc, you make me laugh.
We threw poor Doc for a loop today. For
really, tell me what happened.
Double shows, man. Well, they were picking on me, but teasing. But it got out a little out of hand on Russ's show, and then Doc came in, and then there was some sexual innuendos and all this stuff. Doc said, I never heard of such a thing, especially Crowdy Jane, you're so innocent, you're saying all this stuff. And I said, look, I'm just reiterating what the guys with caps and Osher saying. I didn't say it. I just said they said it. And he says, oh, no, this has to stop. And then Russ says, Pulse is on. So we all of us, Sue, Cass, all of us, Doc, we all go over to Pulse's show, right? So then Russ starts explaining it, because they said I didn't have a brain, and I got very offensive because I do have a brain. And so they were teasing me and all this stuff. And then so Doc says, poor Jane, I think she lost, but it was 14-1 and she held her own. And then there were these new people that were in the chat. Shane, the bald guy, and his wife, and she's like, Jane's a trooper. She held her own. We really like her. You go, Jane. And Pulse is like, oh, getting back to the show now. We did have some important things to say. And Doc said, oh, man. He said, man, I can't take this stuff. I never in my life had heard such language.
Oh, my God. The Doc makes me laugh. He says some things that are
Doc
funny
is pretty funny, dude.
He is funny, yeah. I like Doc.
I know you I can like hold your own because I heard Russ you with William. Each other. I heard you. Yes, yes, for sure. You know, Russ is funny. He's the instigator. He just likes to push buttons. He doesn't mean anything he says. He just wants to get reactions out of people. And if you give
he does it to Hanny J all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But Hanny flips him off. He pisses me off. Hanny flips him off and lets it go like water off a duck's back. I don't know how to do that. So he says, listen, he ends this. Okay, the Pulse tells us to say, everybody on the panel to say.
It takes practice and talent.
Right? Yeah. Right. Like I lack that. And then, so Russ says, oh God. I pray that I am really trying to love everybody. And I said, Pulse, that was meant for me. And then the Pulse said, Russ.
That's when I came on the show. And I was like, what does that mean? It was meant for you. I was like,
it was meant for me. It means he's trying to love me, but he can't.
No, I think Wes loves you.
He can't stand me. Yes, he keeps calling me geriatric, and he keeps saying
he never said it. Here's Wes and Chip when we need him.
Chip said he was going to smack me in the face one day.
Real man. That is Russ's way that says he likes you. If he teases you, he likes you.
Mary, there's some violence going on in that panel.
I'm telling you, poor Doc was like livid. He was like, I don't know what's going on. And Sue's going on about meeting Caps and Asha. And
Just remember, ladies, any man who hits you, that doesn't mean he loves you. I'm just saying.
No,
Russ just says instigator, but he's
fine. I know, I'm just saying.
No, but it's like what I get is like, yeah, Russ is pretty fun. But they really get wound up and mad. Like Shep will say, I'm going to smack you in your face. One time he said that to me. And then Russ got really pissed off at me, and I said, and then Caps did, and I said, oh boy, they're preaching to the choir. They don't take their own advice. They say, gator skin, gator skin, gator skin. You need gator skin, but they need gator skin too, because I've seen them get mad, all three of them.
Well, the other day, Annie and I saw Shep get pretty mad over someone's age. Oh, that was funny.
Yeah, that's funny.
Little thing.
But anyway, it was funny because Doc was like throw for a loop. He's like, I come on to listen to the Motown show and all hell breaks loose.
Good, Hanny. I'm glad Shep apologized to you. He does that, you know, like he gets it. He knows when he messes up and he's not afraid to own it. He's a good guy. So I'm glad he said sorry.
He would never apologize to me. I'm his nemesis. But Russ did apologize.
I don't think so. Like, yeah, everybody in the pod family loves you.
Passion. But Russ did apologize to me for calling me a retard. He said, I'm really sorry, Jane. And you're not dumb either. He did it because I talked it out with him. It was just him and I. I'm always the first one on his show. And I said, Russ, I don't know if this was a joke or not, but you really did hurt me by calling me a retard. And he said, Jane, I'm sorry. I call my kids retarded. And he said, I stopped and said, retard, but you're not retarded. And I apologize for that. And I said, well, I'm not dumb either, Russ. And he said, no, you're not, Jane. You're a very sweet lady. And I'm very sorry I hurt your feelings.
Yeah. But that is true. Doc is right. You can hold your own. Cause the first time I came across you on Rush's show with William O'Connor.
Oh my gosh. We're friends now.
That's good. But that episode, I was like, holy cow. First time I tuned into Rush's show and you held your own. You did. And I was so proud of you. And that's when I fell in love with you. I'm like, I love Karate Jane.
Well, they were coming at me with all kinds of shit. You know, I mean, William hits on every single lady at first.
Of course.
And then I was like, he's like, oh, how about it? You want to get with me, kid? And I said, kid? I said, I'm going to be 61. I'm no kid. I said, you're only 63. What are you talking about? I said, I don't want an old fart. And I said, besides, your wiener's too small to even think about it. And then
damn, girl, really savage.
Yeah, well, they were coming at me left and right. Yeah,
good for you holding your own ground.
I do get savage. I do pot shots back.
I wish I could have caught that show. That sounded like that was a riot.
Oh, it's
like
probably
a good time.
Recorded.
Yeah, but it's a couple months
Russell
old.
Probably
at least.
Published
it. Was done in spring.
Yeah, he probably
was done spring, but that made me fall in love with Jane, and I kept wanting her to like on all the podcasts. Like I jump on, I'm like, I hope Karate Jane jumps on. I hope she jumps on.
Yeah, and then she said, "There's my best friend, Karate Jane." And then the sharks came out to attack William, Caps, Russ, Shep.
I bet.
You did it though. You did it, and you got a fan for life now.
Thank
well,
you.
If you're new to the show, give a like and a follow. Like, I share, did. Subscribe.
I've been liking you, and I've already followed you.
Great, because you're not gonna want to miss Wednesday show or Friday show. Right. Make sure you also check out Yancey's show.
Ooh,
it's the
Friday
wrong,
show.
Wrong kind of podcast. What is it, Yancey?
WKOP.
Eric, you know.
Well, I'm gonna be plugging some shows before you wrap up near the top of the hour, so we can go over to Russ's show.
WKOP. See, yeah. And I always get that mixed up because I like I've already told you, I thought it was a radio acronym. So I'm like, I don't want to mess it up. And Humble Dog has a good program too. Everything we need to know about dogs. Because I think my Duke, I think my lab is slowly dying because today I've just had to clean up after him. Oh. He's gone in the house like 3 or 4 times. We have a vet appointment on Friday. My husband's taking it really hard because it's really, really, really his.
Yeah.
Dog. We've had it our whole marriage because I got it for him when he graduated college. So that was like our first little baby. So it's going to be difficult when he goes.
How old is the dog?
He's old. He's about 17 years old. Yeah, I think he's lived a very long life.
And he's a lab?
That's long.
Yes.
That's
a long time for a lab. Yeah. Most labs pass away between 10 to 13.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's because I only
have my little boy, my little lab. Hey, buddy.
Because I don't have like chemicals come in. I have really natural, clean products. I don't know if that played a part in his longevity. I'm not sure. He's still eating, but he puked today and he just went 3 or 4 times in the house. So that was.
Well, let me ask you, because I've had many dogs pass away already. Have you seen your dog ever go underneath the bed, or like he'll spin in a circle and then he'll go underneath the bed or table or some kind of like go into hiding in general?
No, we have. So my house isn't open to the dogs going everywhere. And I did that because they shed it a lot. And I got it's a lot of work just to keep that one room clean, and it's our living room, and I block them off from the rest of the house.
Okay.
And there's not really a table to go in, but I've been monitoring him when he wants to go out if he ends up staying outside and not wanting to come in.
So has he been sleeping a lot lately, like more than usual?
No, yeah. Well, he's been sleeping a lot, but he's been sleeping a lot for a while.
But it's 110 degrees in there,
It is. But both, and I have a little tiny dog.
He could be experiencing minor heat, like not heat stroke, but heat. What's the other one? That's right before a heat stroke.
I know what you're talking about.
Heat exhaustion.
Heat exhaustion. There you go. Heat exhaustion. Yeah.
They don't go out, but they stay in the house.
Do you put ice cubes in his bowl? That's what we used to do. They tell you.
Well, even if he doesn't go outside, just the sheer heat, the radiation of the heat from the outside, it warms up your windows and it goes inside the house. And for a dog, since he has his fur coat, you know, he's going to feel it faster than we are because we don't have that much hair on us.
Too bad Humble Dog can't jump in on this phone call because he's an expert in all things dog.
Is he panting? Amber? Is
he panting? When he comes in from going to the bathroom outside, he will. But that's normal. He has a hard time getting up. He does still get up. He still walks, but it's really hard.
He doesn't have like doggy arthritis or anything, does he?
Yeah.
He does?
It
could be the arthritis causing him to slow down a lot because just like people, you know, arthritis on a dog, it really does take a toll since they're more agile. Their legs are more agile than a human's legs because the way they're built. So him being active, like I'm assuming he was a very active dog when he was a puppy or when he was younger, right? It's going to take its toll on him because since he's an older dog now, he's not used to feeling that pain or slowing down, so his body's gonna have to adjust. But if he's already that old, I mean, good god, that's an old dog.
There is glucosamine chondroitin for dogs.
Yeah, we've tried it, they won't eat it. And we've tried all kinds of ways to get it down their throat, and they're like, no, we don't want it.
Wow.
So I'm taking Goliath, my little dog. He's about 15 or 16 years old. I'm taking him because he on Thursday he did something. I don't know what he did something, and he was really in pain.
Oh no!
And the soonest I could get him into the vet is tomorrow. So we're doing that tomorrow, and then on Friday.
What kind of dog is he?
He's a terrier mix. So it's funny how I got that dog.
Okay. Yeah.
He wasn't jumping.
He wasn't jumping. Was he?
Like
jumping off the couch or anything?
No. They don't. They know better. And he's an old dog, so there's no jumping.
Oh, so he fell or something?
My mother-in-law says he slipped on the tile.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. Yeah, and I know he has arthritis really bad. So I don't know if he tore something or if it's just I have no idea. So
give cortisone shots because my cat was 18, and he was wobbling and screeching. And I took him to the vet. I thought this was it. I had to put him down. But the vet said, no, he's not going to die today. He's arthritis. So I gave him a cortisone shot. But I could not take that. He was suffering that. He kept walking and falling and screeching and creaking. So I said the next day, I went to the other vet and I said, please put him down. I don't want Tiger to suffer. And aww. So, but he lived till he was 18.
Welcome, Banyip, to the program. Yeah, like our dog, we thought he was going to go like last year because he had this crazy wheeze to him. And we're like, oh, it's getting close. And he was like that for several weeks. And then the wheeze is gone. Like now he's breathing normal. And we did change food. So then I'm thinking, what if he developed an allergy for the food we had given him for years?
It's possible.
Because that's the only thing that changed was we changed food and now his wheeze is gone.
But I was just going to ask you, before that food, before you changed it, the one that you were giving him and he was wheezing with, was he eating anything before that brand?
No.
No, it was just straight that brand?
Yeah, no. Yeah,
were you changing flavors or were you keeping him on the same flavor?
That I can't answer because most of the time my husband would go get the dog food because it's heavy. So I'd make him go get it. And so I can't tell you for sure.
I know just like humans. Right. Like for example, for me, I used to eat the shit out of apples. Uh-huh. When I turned 18, I became allergic to apples. So just like humans, a dog, if you keep giving the dog the same food over and over and over and over without changing it, you know, eventually their body will reject it.
Yeah. So that's what the only thing that makes sense, because the only thing that changed was the fact that his food changed. And then the wheeze went away. And oh my gosh, they never had wet dog food before. And they're crazy about it. And he gets all this energy every time it's time for eating. And our dogs know when it's time for eating. They start barking.
That's
hey,
funny.
You're not feeding me. You're not feeding me. Human, you need to feed me. It's breakfast time. It's dinner time. It's funny.
Well, it could have been the food because my one cat, my cat now has hyperthyroidism, but she never had tuna or any kind of fish in her life because my other cat before her, Tiggy, we didn't know if he gave him people tuna fish, and tuna fish on cat food, it leads to hyperthyroidism. So we never gave her any, but she got it anyway. And Tiggy had hyperthyroidism from fish, but Domino was on Rachel Ray Nutrish, and dogs and cats were dying grain-free. And the vet told me it took 2 years, and he died of a heart attack because of that food.
That's what my dogs were on for years, Rachel Ray.
Yeah, that's it.
You see, that's what I heard, that the Rachel Ray, that they were using some ingredient that they weren't supposed to be using. It was like a cheap substitute for what they're using. And then it wound up killing not only the dogs, but the cats as well. So now I don't know if there's a lawsuit going on.
Oh my God, that's horrible. We've been poisoning our dogs and we didn't even know.
No, I know, because it was the cheapest. We thought it was the best food.
That's what I thought. It looked really good on the package. And he knows who Rachel Ray is.
Blue Buffalo. Blue Buffalo, I think it was like a year ago or 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. They went through a lawsuit too because they were claiming that they had all natural ingredients and there was no added chemicals and ingredients and stuff in their food. But apparently somebody's dog ate the food and it went into like a convulsive seizure and died.
Oh my God.
And so they started investigating what was in the food, and then they found pesticides. It was pesticides and I forgot that other, I forgot the other chemical, but apparently those two chemicals was a deadly combination, and they massive recall on the Blue Buffalo food. And now it's fine. It's fine now, but a couple of years ago, they had that massive recall, and people were teaming up with this attorney right doing class action lawsuits.
I should have got on that class action lawsuit when Rachel Ray killed me.
And usually those are very time-sensitive cases, too.
Well, yeah. I didn't know that. So is it closed now, the Rachel Ray case?
I don't know. I tried to communicate with her, and I got nowhere.
You can Google it. All this is open to the public, like all public information about those court cases. You can Google it and see.
I'm going to do that because, there was a big difference.
And that's young for a cat.
Well, our buddy Russ is going to get on the show. I want to thank every one of you for coming on my first inaugural live show.
Yeah, no problem.
That's really
cool. No problem. Great show.
Please come back on Wednesday.
We'll do.
Tomorrow night, I'm doing another live show. It's going to be on Rumble, Facebook, and Clout Hub. I'm going out with my friend Liberty Warrior. We're going to be talking about one of my favorite singers and what the cancel culture going on with him. So I hope
you're talking about Jason Aldean.
Yes,
I was about to talk about that on my show too tonight.
You have a show too. I need a like and follow you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was actually going to talk about that show tonight, or his song tonight on my show. Jimmy. Oh, there you go.
Do I get on your? I tried to get on your Facebook page. I couldn't get on it.
I'll put it in chat. Go ahead, Eric, and talk about the next show coming up.
Well, real quick, I'll tell you what, though. Instead of me doing my show tonight talking about that song, what if I jump in with you as a co-host on your show and we can talk about it together?
Yeah, you could be with my friend LW and I.
Ooh,
I'll let you be on with LW and I. Send me an email.
All right, we'll do.
All right, Jimmy's going to get a screenshot of that. And I've got a good closing for you, Amber. To friends of the Amber May Show who have enjoyed listening to this first live episode, broadcast on Podbean that Amber will be publishing. If you're listening to us on Spotify or Google Play, Amazon Music, Apple iTunes, and any of the other places you can find podcasts, if you're interested in checking out some good live shows and other great podcast shows worth listening to, come check out a place called Podbean. Podbean is spelled Podbean. It's podbean.com. And there you'll find some of the following shows that I think you might really thoroughly enjoy. You've got The Old Man's Podcast weekdays, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific, plus The Old Man's Friday Night Tom After Dark Show Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. You've also got Brett and Scott with the Pulse Podcast weekdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific, plus Wednesday nights, 10:30 p.m., 7:30 p.m. Pacific, and that's 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, by the way. You've also got, WKOP, The Wrong Kind of Podcast with Yancey, Justin, and Megan, and you've also got, the Beans and Weenie Show, a comedy podcast you'll find Friday nights. You've also got the Potluck Podcast, another comedy show you'll find on Wednesday nights. You've also got Slacker 82 Alpha with Maverick, Goose, and Bravo Wednesday evenings, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific. Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific. You've got Felix and Ann with the podcast show The Swap Doesn't Lie. You've also got, John DeVito, who you probably remember doing the John DeVito Show and the Papa John's podcast. He's going to be, tinkering with his podcast once again, and he's going to be calling it the Pussification of America podcast, so be on lookout for that. And also be on lookout for Russ and the Outside of Normal podcast with the lunchtime shows and his late night shows, usually around 10 p.m. Eastern time. And coming up in 5 minutes, he'll be collaborating with Brett and Scott with what they do every Monday night is the Outside the Pulse. And you've also got additional podcast shows like the Kirkley Hennessy Show, Jimmy with the Captain Radio podcast, and also be on lookout for Jimmy to be reviving the Den of the Unknown podcast. And be on lookout for Hanny J to be doing her TRL or Total Request shows. and be on lookout for people like Russ Finley and Bella Forever, and be on lookout for Caps to do his chill shows and the Frankie D Show and Substance for Days, and be on the lookout for an all new season of the Slightly Serious Show with James and Pertwee and yours truly, and be on lookout for the Ralph William podcast and the Holy Shift podcast with our friend Poetic and so many, many others. I think
make
you'll
sure
really
you join
thoroughly enjoy these.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just want to make sure you join me and Eric tomorrow at 7 a.m. Pacific.
Absolutely.
On the Old Man Show, because we're going to be there tomorrow for sure. So you get to catch me tomorrow at the Old Man Show. Please join us to join me at 5 p.m. on Rumble, Facebook,
and
What time is your show tomorrow?
5 p.m. Pacific.
Humble.
So that'd be 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central.
Yep.
Amber has a question about the dog, but we're running out of time. Amber, yeah. Humble's in the chat.
What did he ask me?
No, you said you wanted to ask him because he knows.
Oh no, I wanted him to come on so he could talk about it on the
show.
Well,
hopefully, Humble Dog Chris can email you, and then the Humble Dog podcast. That's another podcast to check out as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, everyone, join Russ over on the outside of the Pulse. Is that what they call it?
Going live in 3 minutes. Outside the Pulse, Monday night.
Yeah. Outside the Pulse on Russ's show, Outside of Normal. Thank you, guys. I appreciate every single one of you for coming on my first live Podbean show. So thank you.
Well, look forward to hopefully you doing more of these, Amber.
Awesome.
And definitely look forward to some more of your other great shows.
Yeah. Take care, guys.
Bye.
Love you and God bless you, everybody.
Bye.
See you on the Podbean.
Cool where you're at. You too, Hanny.
Thank you, Miss Dixie.